Hi, this is Gary Puckett, Once Upon a Time of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, and you are listening to the Follow Your Dream podcast with Robert Miller.
Young girl, get out of my mind.
Everyone has a dream. Robert Miller is a musician who had a dream to become a rock star. He followed his dream, and he succeeded. If you're ready to pursue and succeed at your dream, then listen up and get inspired and motivated to take action today. Welcome to the Follow Your Dream podcast.
You've kept the secret of your youth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the award-winning Follow Your Dream podcast with listeners worldwide on every continent in 200 countries. I'm Robert Miller, your host. And I want to welcome you to another special episode of the podcast. I am doing this show jointly with my co-host, 60s superstar Gary Puckett of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. Gary and the group had six top 10 hits in 1968, including Woman, Woman and Young Girl. This is Gary's second co-hosting gig with me. I think he's trying to take over the show. The first one we did a little while ago with Little Anthony of Little Anthony and the Imperials, and that was just a great show. Today's episode features another 60s superstar, Dennis Tufano, the original voice of the Buckinghams, America's answer to the British invasion. Like Gary, Dennis and his band had an incredible string of hits, including Kind of a Drag, Don't You Care, Mercy, 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 Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song, and Susan. I had the pleasure of having Dennis on the podcast previously, and it's a gas to have him back again with Gary. And in the middle, we're going to do a song fest, as I do with all my musician guests. We're going to play a bit of all those great hits by Dennis and his band, and you'll get the backstories, and nobody else does this in podcasts. And I like to feature a song of mine in every episode underneath the intro and at the end. But again, in honor of Gary as my co-host, the featured song in this episode is Young Girl, one of his biggest hits. So Dennis and Gary, welcome again to the Follow Your Dream podcast, guys.
Thank you, Robert. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Gary. How you doing, Robert?
Oh, I'm doing just great. Man, isn't it great that you guys are still out there doing it after, what, 50, 60 years? Isn't it incredible?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Go ahead, Dennis. I want to hear you talk.
No, I was just going to say I'm still writing 1957 on my checks. So it just seems like we're just getting started. But yeah, it's great to be out there again.
How long have you guys known each other?
Since the beginning, actually. Since 1960, probably 1968, because that's when we really started our success. So we met, Dennis, you and I met. I met the whole group in 1968. I'm absolutely certain about that. And we became friends immediately, and Carl and Nick and the other members of the band.
Yeah, yeah. And we used to do all those shows, all the rock, big BAM shows and stuff. So there was always like six big acts on every show we were doing in the 60s. So it was, we got to see each other a lot.
The Shower of Stars.
Yeah, the Shower of Stars. And we're very...
Did you guys both do the Ed Sullivan Show?
We did the Ed Sullivan Show three times. How many times did you do it, Dennis?
Well, we got it right the first time, so we just did it once.
Very good comeback. I love it. That's really great. It took me a while.
Well, you're on the East Coast. What are you going to do? it was a thrill, as you know. It was quite an iconic show at the time.
So listen, I have a request, Dennis. You told this great story the first time you were on the podcast about being on the Smothers Brothers show.
An angel on a visit to his brother here below can cause a lot of trouble.
There's miracles to start, but they always come apart
on his mother's brother's show.
There's miracles to start, but they always come apart
on his mother's brother's show.
Tell us about that one again.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was great because, you know, it was the height of the British invasion, of course. And so what was happening is we arrive at the show and Tommy's mother greets us. And he says, well, we're so excited to have you on the show. We love your music and everything. We said, well, we think you guys are great, too. You got a great show. And he said, wait a second. Where's your accents? And we said, what accents? We have Chicago accents. He goes, no, we thought that you were British. And we made this whole set that was a gigantic set. It was like 25 Union Jacks on it, British flags. And there was no escaping that he thought we were British. So on the Smothers Brothers show, they don't interview you. You just perform your song, and that's it. So nobody heard us speak. But because of that show, and I think the song was Mercy, Mercy, Mercy that we did, with that background, because we told Tommy, we said, well, you can't change the background. It's, you know, we're going to tape in 2 hours. How are you going to change a set? So we said, don't worry about it, because we did another song, Don't You Care, with a different set. So it saw us both. But that British thing, from that day on, we were British. And everybody used to say to us, where's your accent?
That's funny. Okay, that's live television for you, right?
Great story. Yeah, Dennis, I wanted to move forward just a little bit, because after the Buckinghams, you and Carl Giammarisi went out as a duo and signed with Lou Adler's label, Ode Records. And you made, I don't know, 2 or 3 albums, something like that. And yeah, you actually even toured with Cheech and Chong. So tell us some of that stuff.
Yes, we did. Oh, yeah. Well, we got kind of turned down by every label, because the Buckinghams broke up in 1970. And I always say that we broke up in 1970. We had to, because we were a 60s band. And you couldn't go and play 60s music in the 70s. And that joke went over then as bad as it did now.
Just now?
Yeah. And so we got turned down by every label. We had some demos Carl and I put together. And we were going to give up, because nobody cared. It was only like a year after the Buckinghams. So, and then our manager, John Polis, who was our drummer in the Buckinghams, he had an idea to send our demo to Lou Adler at Ode Records. And we said, no, that's a custom label. That's, you know, Carole King and all these people around. I said, we're not going to make it on that. Lou loved the demo, flew us out to LA, and said, not only do I want to sign you to the label, but I also want to produce your first album. So we were pretty excited about that. And he gave us a good 3-album deal, because they were associated with A&M Records, which was like the last bastion of creativity in the music business, I think. And we did 3 albums together. And then we went our separate ways after about 4 years.
Yeah. What was it like doing shows with Cheech and Chong?
It was kind of like trying to do, we were an acoustic act. So we only had 2 acoustic guitars and a bass player. And we would go out to open the show and the whole stadium would be doing, hey, where's Dave, man? Where's Dave? Come on, I want to. And they would do the act the whole time. So I had to start saying things like, could you just shut up so we know we started? Because we just want to finish the songs. And but that only happened like in the first couple. But we won them over after that. But Tommy Chong used to call Lou Adler and say, hey, Dennis is bumming out our audiences, man. And Lou said, nobody could bum out your audience. They don't even know they're there. You know, so we had a pretty crazy time. But it was fun. Tommy and Cheech were pretty fun guys anyway. You know, Cheech was always a lot more friendlier than Tommy was. Tommy was very serious about a lot of stuff, considering he was funny. But it was a good challenge. It's a damn good challenge to get out there and try to bust through, you know, a haze of marijuana smoke, you know. It was like, yeah, it was crazy. But we got through it. We got through it really well, and it paid off because we got to showcase the first album, which was great.
Good for you. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing recently and all these cruises that you go on.
Yeah, we've been working all the time. I mean, there's a lot of cruises out there. Gary's been on them too. We've been doing a lot of cruises, and the shows are still happening, which is great. Not as rapid fire as they used to be, but we're still out there performing. And I was inducted into the West Coast Music Hall of Fame a couple of months ago, and I'm going to present another award to Ron Dante this weekend coming up for the Hall of Fame. So there's been a lot of activity. It was almost like the old days, you know, having some awards and having some inductions and different things like that.
And it's great all these years later because we get to see those people again, like on these cruises, when you all come back together and you see each other perform and you get to maybe even hang out or have dinner or whatever. And I met for the first time on this last cruise called Flower Power. I met Danny Serafin, who I'd never met before, and he was the original drummer, you know, for Chicago. And they were our opening act at the Santa Monica something or other, you know, way back before when they just got started. And it was great getting to know Danny a bit because he's a nice guy, and they certainly had, you know, the greatest music.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah. Hey, moving on. Dennis, what was it like to be able to work with Olivia Newton-John?
Oh, gosh, it was probably the highlight, one of the highlights of my my singing career. She was a real, real person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had auditioned to get that part. It was Tom Scott was the musical director, the saxophone player. And he's mainly a jazz bebop kind of guy and stuff, you know. But he was the musical director, and he had called me and said, look, we got a singer going out with Olivia and stuff. Who can sing, but he can't act. And at the time I was actually an actor and I was doing acting, and he called me and said, look, and he says, this guy can sing, but he can't do the duets with Olivia. He couldn't kind of sing and act and stuff.
But she was a beauty, wasn't she?
Oh, she was the best person in the world. I mean, when we did our songs together, she was, just open to any way to make it right and make it work. And so we had, the tour was 3 months long. So we had a really good time to get a relationship going. And it shows on stage when we work together too, is you can just see that we're comfortable, you know, and we really had a good time. So yeah, I miss her a lot. She was great. Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Robert Miller, your host. As a musician and composer, I've crossed multiple genres. My early work includes jazz rock instrumentals like Spring Dance. And ballads like Ma Petite Fleur. Later on, I segued into vocal songs like Redemption Road.
But I'll come back strong, trying to stay on Redemption Road. I try to rise, make you surprise, Redemption Road.
And along the way, I added collaborations with world-class musicians like Jim Peterik, Elliot Randall, and Tony Carey on The Fall of Winter.
He said, stand tall to yourself, be true. Don't let the fall of winter get the best of you. Had a voice like a boat from the blue. Don't let the fall of winter make a fool of you. Don't let the fall of winter make a fool of you.
I also pride myself on the reimagined covers I've done, including The In Crowd.
I'm in with The In Crowd.
And then recently, I've come full circle with The Rich Ones, a jazz instrumental with guest artist Randy Brecker. For me, crossing genres helps keep the music fresh. Once again, I want to thank you all for listening to this podcast, and keep on rocking. All right, guys, listen, we got to get to the Songfest portion of this show because I want to get some music into this.
Oh, the Songfest.
Yeah, we're playing Kind of a Drag right now.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen, cause you what I gotta say. Girl, I still love you.
I still love you.
I'll always love you.
I'll always love you.
Anyway. Anyway.
Give me your best recollections of what happened with that song.
Well, that was perfect. I mean, the writer, Jim Holbay, was playing at a show in Chicago, and we were the local bands playing, and he heard us, and our manager at the time, Carl Bonafetti, said, "Hey, Jimmy, do you have any songs? Because you're a good songwriter." And he said, "Well, I think I've got a song that I just wrote." He says, "I don't think my band's going to do it." He says, "Because we're more of an R&B kind of band." He said, "But here, I'll give you a copy." And he gave us a little three-inch tape of him playing in the hotel room on an acoustic guitar and singing. And that song was Kind of a Drag. And we took that song and we worked with it. We got it together. We recorded it. And the record company hated it, USA Records at the time. And they said, "We don't want to release this song." So a year later, when the contract was up, they released it because they had to. And they just released us from the whole thing. We were gone. We had no record label. That was November of 66. By February of 67, it was number one with a bullet all over the world. And that was the most amazing thing to happen with that song, you know?
Wow.
Kind of a Drag became Kind of a Hit.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Go to the next one. Don't You Care.
If you don't love me, why don't you tell me? Instead of running around with all the other guys in town, can't you see? You're hurting me, don't you care? Don't you care?
What are your recollections there?
Well, that was the song. Well, once Jim Holbay saw that he had a hit record out there, he immediately called us and said, "Look, I've got another couple of songs for you." He says, Don't You Care was the follow-up. And I really love Don't You Care because it's something about the chord changes and things like that, because Jim Holbay wrote for blues and he wrote for, funky stuff. And the chord changes in Don't You Care were very different on pop. They weren't real like three chord progressions. They had some spunk to them. And I loved the key it was in. And it was just another vocal place for me to go. And so it was exciting to have a song that was the follow-up to your hit. It wasn't exactly the same song. So it was a lot of fun to have that one. I still love that song today.
It's a great song. All right, the next one was one of my personal favorites. I'm talking about Mercy, 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 which was written, if I understand correctly, by the great Joe Zawinul, who went on to great fame in Weather Report. Am I right?
Yes.
But she got something much greater than gold. Crazy about that girl, how she got so much soul. I said she got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging. Sure is metal, glad that I'm a fella. And I know that she knocks me off my feet. Have mercy on me, cause
Yes, Joe Zawinul played with Cannonball Adderley, and he wrote the song for Cannonball. And we had actually seen Cannonball Adderley play with Joe Zawinul like 3 years before we did Mercy Mercy. He was playing in a jazz club in Chicago, and we heard the original version of it, blown away by it. And then years later, of course, we're doing our album at Columbia, and we get this demo sent to us from Larry Williams and Johnny Guitar Watson, who wrote a lot of songs in the 60s. And they wrote a lyric to Mercy, Mercy, Mercy. And they sent it to us. And we couldn't believe it. When we saw the title, we said, really, a lyric? And sure enough, we heard it. We just jumped on it and did it as an album track. And then Columbia decided that it was going to be a single, too. So they threw it out as a single, and it became a hit for us.
Like I said, that was my favorite one of your singles. And I had my high school band. We did that one as part of our set. That's why it means something special to me. All right, go on to the next one. Hey, Baby, they're playing our song.
Hey, Baby, they're playing our song. The one we used to hear when we used to get along. Hey, Baby, they're playing our song. Let's get back together. That's where we belong. It's the one with the pretty melody. It's the one that made you fall in love with me. It made us feel so groovy. We fell in love, just like in the movie.
Yeah, hey baby. Well, of course, like I said, Jim Holvey started unloading good tunes to us. You know, we were very, very, very fortunate and blessed to have the same songwriter who was giving us some consistency and everything. So Hey Baby was another one. And there used to be a show in Chicago, a DJ, Art Roberts on WLS Radio. Used to have a show called Hey Baby, They're Playing Our Song. And so when our song came out, he played it constantly. It almost became his theme song. And it worked out great. It was like there's a little moment in the beginning of Hey Baby that if people listen to it very closely, just before the drums come in, we're all in the studio doing background vocals, and just before we thought we were not in record yet, we started laughing and talking to each other about, oh, this is great, man, we're so happy to be here, and this is great. And then we heard the drums come in, and we started getting, and they were recording the whole time. So they left that in on the record. So it's one of those little recording things that, you know, it's a little trivia that if you listen closely, you can hear us all just talking to each other. We had no idea we were being recorded.
That's what made it a hit, huh?
I think so.
All right, last one that I want to get in here. Susan.
I'm losing. I'm losing my mind. I'm wasting my time. Susan, do you have to be confusing? I ask myself why you're saying goodbye. No other girl could ever take of you. Though you're hurting me, you know I'll always be thinking of you. Girl, I love you.
Tell me about her and about the song.
Well, as we've been talking about Jim Holvey, the writer, and Gary Beesberg, his co-writer on a couple of the songs, all of the songs that we were given, Kind of a Drag, Don't You Care, Hey Baby, Susan, were all about Susan. She's the same topic in every song. And Susan was a waitress and a go-go dancer in a couple of the clubs in Chicago. And Jimmy and her dated for about 9-10 months or something like that. And then, of course, you know, he went deeper into it and his heart broke and she took off. And as a matter of fact, we had lunch some time ago out here in Los Angeles. And he was saying, oh, I wish that relationship would have lasted longer. And I said, why? I said, you wrote all those songs about her. I said, they lasted for 50, 60 years. I said, you got hit records. What's that's better than a bad relationship. So he bought me lunch, which was nice.
Has she ever asked for royalties as a result?
I don't know where she went. I would like to run into her again, though. She was quite a cute girl. Nice girl.
All right. So, Gary, tell us a little bit about what's happening with you and the band.
Well, we're, you know, we're doing our thing. We're leaving this. So I guess we go to Pittsburgh this weekend. We're going to do a kind of a jamboree thing at the Benedum Center with the star of the show is actually Little Anthony. So we're looking forward to that one. Following weekend, we go to a couple of great clubs. One is called the Sellersville Theater in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. The next night, we're going to do another sort of, what do you call them? Well, you're calling them jamborees now these days. A bunch of acts together, Gary Lewis and the Playboys, me, who else, some others that are on the show. So we're going to have a good time doing that. Then we go out to Las Vegas for about three nights and work at the South Point Hotel and Casino, which is always a great venue for us.
So I'm just curious, one last question here. Back in that day that you guys became stars, there are so many stories I've heard on the podcast about a random disc jockey somewhere in America picking up one of your songs and either playing it or flipping it over and making the B-side into the A-side, and that's how it all started. It became a hit. Did either of you have that experience?
We had some B-sides flip over and had some airplay, but they never became as big as the A-sides. Yeah, but there's a lot of stories about B-sides becoming the hit. We had just some B-sides that became as popular as the A-sides, but it wasn't a reoccurring situation too much.
Yeah, because they used to have the A-side, B-side thing, the record, or rather the radio stations could choose which side they could play. And in our case, it was Woman, Woman. A song on that flip side called Don't Make Promises, which was written by a famous songwriter of the day, Tim Hardin.
It seems the songs we're singing are all about tomorrow. Tunes of promises you can keep.
And it so happened that our outfits had something to do with the fact that there was a Civil War historian in Columbus, Ohio, who, when he saw the picture on the record, said, "This is a fantastic picture." It was all done in sepia tone and everything. So he said, "What's this record sound like?" So he played it, loved it, put it on his station, and it went to number one. But we never had a B-side overtake the A-side in that case. But Woman, Woman became a huge, huge hit. And at this point, it's sold over 18 million copies.
Not too shabby. All right, listen, Gary, you got to tell me that one story again that I absolutely love about where you got those Civil War uniforms made.
Well, I took the band and went to a place in Los Angeles called Western Costume, and that's where all the movie producers and directors and people go who are making a war movie or an Indian movie or a hippie movie or whatever to get all of their outfits for the crowds and all that. And the outfits were very expensive, so I rented one and took the boys down to Tijuana, Mexico. We lived in San Diego, and Tijuana was just a 45, 50-minute ride. So we went down across the border, and I found a tailor down there, and I just held up the coat. He looked at it and nodded his head and measured us up and made these fantastic outfits for us. And we finished them off up in San Diego with, you know, Flag Brothers boots and ribbon on the pants and all that kind of stuff and the hats.
All right. Well, I love the fact that you took Civil War uniforms and had them made in Mexico. That's just great. All right. Listen, I want to thank both of you guys for being on the podcast again. Gary is my co-host and Dennis Tufano of the Buckinghams.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Gary. Thanks for, you know, including me in this little fest here. It was great.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. It's my pleasure, and I'm glad to see your face. So let's get together sometime soon.
Yes, very soon.
All right. We're going to listen now to that song that is my featured song for this episode. It's Gary's song, and it's Young Girl. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Follow Your Dream podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast so you don't miss another inspiring episode. You can connect with Robert at robert@followyourdreampodcast.com. And you can hear more from his band at projectgrandslam.com.
With all the charms of a woman, you've kept the secret of your youth. You led me to